in Seattle,
Seattle.
And you need to buy yourself a home. We'll be right there for you,
because
we're the realtors
that you can trust.
So go to RodandDonceDown.com.
Don't go anywhere unless you want to. It's the Ron and Don Show, starring Ron and Don, and sometimes me, at ronanddon.com.
Hey, you guys, what's going on? Welcome to episode 685 now of the Ron and Don Show. It's our real estate edition only broadcast. Did that make sense?
Yeah, that was very good branding. You should do this professionally.
Hey, don't forget, every Friday we sell the sound and we talk about something that we're learning or that we've learned that might help you on your real estate journey if you're a buyer, seller, investor, or you might be a young real estate agent. Okay, so let's do this. I have a friend that lives on the east side, and she and her partner are selling their house, right? And so what happened is, in their friend group, they have a realtor, let's call him Tom, that everybody uses. Everybody uses Tom, because he's the neighborhood guy, he's the neighborhood realtor, and everybody uses Tom. And what Tom does is Tom provides a neighborhood discount or a friend discount for everybody that's in the neighborhood. And whenever I hear discount, I scratch my head and I'm like, huh, I wonder what kind of discount Tom is providing. I said, so show me the contract that you've signed. So she and both her husband, one of them is in the legal profession. Another one of them is in a banking profession. They had both signed the purchase and sale agreement. And I'm looking at the purchase and sale agreement, and on the purchase and sale agreement and everything that they've signed, Tom has not filled in his commission. And so I said, well, have you had a conversation with Tom about the commission? She said, I think I saw the commission in an email. I said, but it's not on the purchase and sale agreement. I said,
listing agreement or purchase and sale agreement?
What's that?
Listing agreement or the purchase and sale? Because purchase and sale.
I'm sorry, the listing agreement.
Okay, great. Because like the purchase and sale, different story. But go ahead. So listing agreement has this now. They've just changed this document for 2024.
Yeah. So the numbers aren't filled in. And I said, well, have you had a conversation about the percentages that you will be paying him? And she said, all I can remember is I got an email, and the email said something about normally we charge 6% and the friends and family deal is 5%. And I said, okay, well, where is the 5% going? And she said, I don't know. Ron, what say you about filling out a listing agreement, signing the listing agreement? You haven't filled in those percentages. You have an email that says that you are paying 5%, but you don't know who you're paying what to. So if you were going to advise these guys, what would you advise them to say? Hey, this is the kind of conversation that you need to have with Tom, your realtor, about a friends and family deal. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if he's saying, hey, we're going to go 5% on this, I'm going to pay myself 3 on the other side too, that is not a friends and family deal.
Yeah.
Or even a 2.5 on both sides. 2.5 is on a house that's going to sell for $1.5 million, $1.6 million. That's not necessarily a friends and family deal either. What say you?
Yeah, so I mean, I've never met this quote unquote Tom. So just to give maybe the benefit of the doubt, maybe he filled it out incorrectly. But most likely he did it on purpose. I think it's sloppy. I think it circumnavigates what the legislature in the state of Washington is trying to do. So the legislature here got enough feedback from the public. I'm talking about Washington State. They got enough feedback from the public, which we have one of the most literate, educated populations in America live in Seattle. And people, if you ever looked at those studies, that is true. One of the most highly educated, literate populations in America. And so they got enough feedback from the population here, from customers, that said, this is confusing. We don't understand how this is set up. the consumers. We don't understand what fees we're paying. It seems really opaque. It seems like there may be some hijinks going on behind the scenes that we are unaware of, possibly even collusion. We don't like that. Like, if I go to buy a car, the price is clearly posted on the car. I see all of the fees. I see the, what it costs to deliver the car. I see everything laid out on a sticker, and I know what I'm paying. And if I don't like that, I can go down to a different car dealership. And so they said, if I'm going into Costco, I see what the price is, and it will tell me if there's a delivery charge on top of that. And it tells me what the tax is going to be. I understand the pricing when I buy other things. With houses, I don't understand. What am I paying for? And so the legislature heard this feedback and they said, okay, real estate agents, real estate brokers, managing brokers, designated brokers, we're changing the rules. For 2024, you have to be clear with your client. You must explain to them and get a written contract as soon as is reasonable. That's the phrase that I think is the only wishy-washy thing in this new law. As soon as is reasonable, you should get a contract and explain these fees. What does that mean? Well, the NWMLS, the Northwest Multiple Listing Service, their attorney, Annie Fitzsimmons, her interpretation of that law, of that phrase, is if you have done one real estate activity for this client, that's a reasonable amount of time. So if you went and showed someone one house, you need to have the talk about the compensation contract. If you and I have done a sit down with someone that's going to list their house and we give them a consultation on what we think their house would be worth, that is one real estate activity. We should say we would like to talk to you about how this compensation works and go over the listing agreement.
Tom already has contractors in the house. Tom has already helped them move. So he is certainly doing real estate, and his name's certainly not Tom. He's certainly doing real estate activities for them now. And yet they have this contract that they've signed.
I would say that contract is incomplete. Like, if you have went before a judge, if they wanted to get out of that contract, which I don't know if they do, but that is deliberately or inadvertently an incomplete contract. So they could, I would argue that if they got an attorney, they could go before a judge and say, this was a breach of the fiduciary duty of this agent. They did not properly educate us. And it clearly here, they didn't even put it on the contract. So this is an unenforceable contract. So what the legislature wants you to do is to explain this. Well, why would an agent not want to explain it? Because they have a difficult time, many agents, justifying and explaining what they provide you to justify that amount of commission. So as you said, let's call it $1 million. A 3% on $1 million.
No, this house is worth $1.5 million or $1.6 million.
I'm just using $1 million because of the math. That's $30,000.
It's $42,000 on $1.5 million.
And so the people are saying, well, explain to me why this transaction would be worth that amount of money. Most agents cannot do that.
And that's just one side of the deal. You're paying the other side of the deal too. You're maybe paying the other side of the deal $30,000.
Right.
So you're looking at $70,000 and $80,000 in commissions on this house at $1.5 million. And you have just asked someone, you're giving the friends and family, everyone trusts you to sign this legal document, and you didn't fill in the percentages of who's getting paid what. There's just an email saying that there's 5% on the table. So if you're paying yourself 3% and the other side 2%, that is not a friends and family deal. You paid yourself 3% on the deal.
Yeah, so I don't know what these numbers are, but I would say that he is not abiding by the spirit of this new law for 2024. So the spirit of the law is to protect customers. Customers, whether you're a buyer or a seller, you should have an understanding of what you are paying for the services that you're getting. You know what you're paying for the house, right? The house is published. So you can go look at a house, like this house costs $775,000. You know that number. Embedded in that number are a lot of different fees and services. And by the time you get to the end of that deal, you're going to be paying a little bit more than what the list price was. Why? And so an agent has if you are a fiduciary, which Don and I are, that means that we can only do what's in the best interest of our clients. If you're a fiduciary agent, you are to be in accordance with the law. It's your obligation to explain that. And it's your obligation to justify the fees that you're charging. And so that the client is comfortable with that fee structure. And if you haven't done that, it's my opinion that they are not abiding by the new law.
Yeah. So anyway, I just encourage people, especially if you're working with a realtor that you know, love, and trust, and they're the neighborhood realtor, find out if you're selling how much you're actually paying them. And they might be worth it. Like, you might be okay with that. Or you may look at the math, like, and I helped this person look at the math last night, and I said, do you know that you are paying this realtor about $1,000 an hour? And you're paying the other realtor on the other side $7,000 an hour. So you're paying these two realtors $8,000 an hour based on everything that you've told me, because this couple is self-performing all the work that's being done in the house, down to the demo work. They're doing all the self. And they work in an industry in lawn and banking where they're both fiduciaries. And I had to explain to them, your real estate agent is a fiduciary too. What do I mean by fiduciary?
Fiduciary means that you are obligated to do what's in the best interest of the client. I'll give you the perfect example, and I'm going to throw a company under the bus because I don't like the way they do business here, and hopefully this doesn't get me in trouble. Let's say you want to invest money in the stock market, and you go, should I say the name of the company? I'm not going to say the name of the company. You go to your neighborhood investment company with the green sign, and you walk in there and you say, hey, I have my life savings. I have $50,000. I would like to invest this money into the stock market. That person that you're sitting at the desk with at that company with the green and white sign, they are not fiduciaries. So unbeknownst to you, they just had a sales meeting the week before that said, hey, if you sell this mutual fund, you sell the XYZ mutual fund, you're going to get a bonus as the salesperson. So if you can put people into this mutual fund, here's the prospectus, here's the brochure, here's our little sales pitch, here's a coffee mug and a koozie to help you remember the XYZ fund. If you sell this fund, you're going to get a bonus. And so they turn around, in you walk with your 50 grand, and they say, you know what? You would be perfect for the XYZ fund. Let me show you this fancy brochure. Here it is. And you go, wow, that seems great. You're an unsophisticated investor. You go, that seems like a great fund. They have pretty good performance. I like the materials. You seem nice. I'm going to put my money into the XYZ fund. So what happened there? You paid a lot of fees. There may be another fund that performs better with lower fees, but because this person is not a fiduciary, they don't have to disclose to you that they're getting a kickback from XYZ. And so they put you into a product that hopefully will make money. It's not that it's a scam. XYZ could be a good fund, but they didn't have to disclose to you that they got a bonus. And they didn't have to put you into a fund that's cheaper to maintain because they're not your fiduciary. Now, if you go to a different investment firm where they are fiduciaries, they will be obliged to say, you could come in with the same brochure and say, the guys at with the green and white sign, they told me that this XYZ fund is really great. And if you're a fiduciary, I would look at that and go, I got to tell you, it's not a horrible fund. However, I can get you into the ABC fund. It's the same performance, less fees, and there's not this hidden bonus structure.
Yeah. So if you're hiring a real estate agent, remind them, you're my fiduciary, right? And then ask them, what does fiduciary mean? Because I don't want you to be a douchiary. And what are you going to do on my behalf to make sure every step of the way, whether I'm on the buy side, in this case, the sell side, every step of the way, that you're going to disclose everything and you're going to describe to me what's coming up on this journey down to the net proceeds. So I asked this person last night, I said, now that you know your numbers, you know how much money you're spending as you self-perform to fix up this house and bring it to market. You're in the banking industry, so you should know this. What are your net proceeds? And this person said, I don't even know what you're talking about. I said, that should be a conversation that your real estate agent, Tom, had with you in the beginning when he described compensation. And he also described all the fees that are going to come out. You talk about excise tax, compensation, capital gains, and you talk about what do I mean by net proceeds? And Ron is really good at this.
Net proceeds is just like what's the actual number that's going to hit your bank account after you pay all the fees, pay off your mortgage, pay all the commissions, pay all your taxes. What's your take home money?
And you should know that at the beginning of the deal, not at the end when you go to the bank and you're like, where did that other $100,000 go? I didn't know that I was paying that. And that certainly happens to people sometimes.
Happens all the time. And I will just say one thing to rewind for maybe a minute. Not every agent is a fiduciary. It's an additional layer of commitment and of ethics on top. Like I can get my broker's license and not be a fiduciary. And so you see these people that want to do both sides of a deal. They want to be a dual agent. Maybe they work for a specific outfit that does a lot of buildings and they don't disclose to you that they're actually also work for the builder and they're trying to represent the seller. Like that type of relationship, that's not a fiduciary relationship. So Don and I have chosen, we've self-elected to be a fiduciary. What does that mean? We got our broker's license. I got my managing broker's license. On top of that, we have made a pledge and oath to our clients. We're going to act in your best interest. And not everybody does that. I think it's very valuable. And there have been many times in our careers where we have gotten less money or $0 to assist people because it was the right thing to do. And we could have made demands for compensation and we did not because we were acting as fiduciaries.
I got a deal for someone yesterday and it's someone that's part of the Ron and Don Nation and I didn't make a dollar creating this deal because I knew it was in the best interest of my client to talk to their next door neighbor and figure it out. And this has to do with a piece of raw land. So very, very different. And I told this particular client, I said, hey, if it's in the best interest to bring this to market, then we're going to bring this to market and you're going to pay me in order to bring this to market. But the best thing to do is you've already had a conversation with your next door neighbor. Let's keep those conversations going. Let's see if we can generate an offer, which we did. And that was in the best interest of my client at the time. So be really careful when you're dealing with family members, friends, people that you know, you still have the right to ask them, are you my fiduciary? What are you doing in this deal to protect me? What are you doing if we're selling to make sure that this home has the most exposure and that you don't steer it to somebody that you already know so you can get both sides of the deal so you can write the deal for the buyer and seller because there's agents out there that'll do that. They'll steer that. What are you doing to market this for me outside the MLS? What are my net proceeds going to be at the end of the deal so I'm not surprised when I go to the bank account? They should be able to create that for you in the beginning and give you a ballpark of what those net proceeds are going to be, right? Very, very important. And then compensation-wise, if you are giving me a friends and family deal, if I, as the seller, am doing a lot of the work here, then you know what? You as the seller deserve to get paid for that. You deserve to put extra money in your pocket that shouldn't go to your broker or the other broker or anyone else. You also have the right now in Washington State to say, I don't want to pay the other broker. If I'm on the sell side, I don't want to pay the buyer's broker. I'm going to let the buyer pay that buyer's broker. And that's a conversation that you should be having now as well. All right. Hey, you guys, thanks for listening to the Ron and Don Show. Fiduciary duty. Yeah, that is really important stuff right there. If you want to have more of a conversation about this, these are the kind of things that we talk about in our Ron and Don sit down. And these are the things that get us fired up. Because you know what? There are a lot of great agents out there doing a lot of great work that are very, very good fiduciaries. And then there's others that aren't. And sometimes those are the ones that are right in your neighborhood, giving you the friends and family plan, which is not a friends and family discount at all. Right. All right. Hey, if you need Ron, just reach out. If you need a buyer or seller playbook, they can do that too.
Yeah. Ron@ronandon.com, or you can go to ronandonsitdown.com.
Our newest listing, Have an Edmunds Kind of Day. That is the motto up in Edmunds, Washington. Go to anedmundskindofday.com. It's in the newsletter this week. anedmundskindofday.com. See the way that we present a home. Check out this beautiful home. And also Ron does a custom video that we share on all our social medias. It's up right now at anedmundskindofday.com. realestatejourney.com. When you have a house like this that is so spectacular, it deserves its own website, right? Yeah, ask your agent, what kind of website are we creating for this property that we're selling? Sometimes they don't want to do that because that's coming out of their side of the ledger and they got to pay for that. They should be paying for your Matterport. They should be paying for your pictures. They should be paying for your mailers. They should be going door to door, door knockers, doing all that stuff. Lots and lots of stuff out on social media, outside the MLS. Your broker should be doing that. That is what you're paying them for. All right? Not just show up on moving day and take a picture of them in a moving truck so they can put that on the social media. All right. Hey, you guys, thanks for listening. Keep your head up and your shoulders back. Thanks for liking this episode, our Friday only episode where we talk about real estate. And if you need us, let's sit down. Ron and Don, sitdown.com. All right. Yeah. Thanks again for hitting subscribe, for giving us 5-star reviews and letting us be your brokers, your friends, and your broadcasters. Yeah. You've been listening to the Ron and Don Show all night on the Ron and Don Radio Network.
Now keep your head up and your shoulders back and keep blowing that trumpet and we'll see you next time.
Only.
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 Only
on the Ron and Don Radio Network.